This podcast is by G. Wayne Miller for the Providence Journal.
We have to keep telling this story. So actually, I start the story. Joan kind of finishes the story.
All right, go ahead.
Is that both our parents, Joan's parents were born in Poland. My parents were born in Poland in the early 1900s, somewhere between 1905 to 1909. Just to make it very, very quickly, life in Poland, obviously, for Jews were very, very bad.
There were a lot of pogroms.
The pogroms started early in Russia. They wandered over to Poland. You had anti-Semitism, you had persecution, it was awful, okay?
And you had slaughter, Kishinev, slaughter, 1903, slaughter, horrible.
It was awful. So Joan's parents left Poland. We're not too sure if they left independently or together, and went to Paris, France. My mother, or my mother-to-be, her family went from Poland, Warsaw, went to Belgium. My father, that comes from a little town called Kalisz, both her parents come from Warsaw. My father comes from a little town called Kalisz. He left Kalisz. He was young and he just couldn't take the life anymore, and went to Belgium also. And that was sometimes around probably 1930, 1932, something like that.
Okay.
My father meets my mother, they get married, okay, and problem was that my father didn't have any proper legal papers to stay in Belgium, not too much different than what's happening right now here in the United States. They caught up with him and they kicked him out. They said, you got to go back to Poland. Goes back to Poland. Of course, he already was in love with this woman. He says, the hell with Poland. I'm going back to Belgium. Goes back to Belgium again without legal papers. They finally caught up with him again. And sometimes in 1936, they said, you have to leave. Well, by that time, they got married. They were married. And my mother had an aunt in Uruguay, also from Poland, had migrated to Uruguay. Why Uruguay at that time? Nobody knows. But she was there. So my parents decided to go to Uruguay because Uruguay just wanted anybody from Europe, you know, especially, you know, Europeans with some kind of progressive and skills and so on. So they wanted them. So they went down to Uruguay and stayed in Uruguay. In 1936, I was born in 1937, 1939, the war breaks out. Now, between 1936 and 1939, the only thing they wanted to do was go back to Belgium. They felt terrible that they were being kicked out of Belgium because they loved the life in Belgium. Brussels was just like Paris. It was very, you know, very active, progressive. It was very cultural, you know. They always used to tell me they used to go to the opera, to the operettas and all of that. They said they, you know, life was great. So they always wanted to go back to Belgium. 39, the war breaks out. The luckiest thing that happened to them is that they got kicked out of Belgium.
Because they probably wouldn't be alive.
No,
wouldn't have lived.
I wouldn't have been alive.
You wouldn't be here.
And because the rest of the family almost the rest of the family, on my parents' side, they were all wiped out. The ones
in the
even
Holocaust.
In Belgium,
yeah.
Even in Belgium, there were a few of them. His sister was there. All of them, once they stayed in Poland, none of them lived. And the ones in Belgium also, they died. So we were the lucky ones.
Somebody's phone is ringing.
That's my daughter.
Oh.
We were the lucky ones. So, it's a perfect contrast from the exact same background of what happened to her. Her parents stayed in Paris, and eventually, Joan will tell you the story, eventually her mother got picked up. And go ahead.
Take it away, Joan.
Take it away.
Where were you born? And
I was
the Normandy thing that you wrote. Yeah,
that I wrote about. Yeah. I was born in Paris. And, my mother and father had migrated. And I don't know that part of the background because of what happened during the war. But my mother and father were not... They had a visa, but they were not French citizens. And the Nazis went after those who were not French citizens, more so than the Jewish people who were French citizens. I mean, if you happened to get in their way, yes, you'd be taken. Unfortunately, my mother don't know all the facts, but she was hiding at her sister's house, who were citizens of France. And the story that I hear is that she was hiding there, and she went out and went into a store to buy stuff, and she was picked up, ended up in Auschwitz, and died at Auschwitz. My father, who I guess found out that she had been taken, I'm sure that he went to the underground and found a way to get us out of Paris.
This is you and your sister?
Me and my sister.
And how old were you and your sister at that time?
I was born in 1936, so I must have been 4 or 5 at that time. And we were then taken by my father on a train to go to Normandy, where this French family who owned the farm hit us, treated us like their children. They were really unbelievably great. And we were treated as their kids. My father at that time was also on the farm, but he was a worker and he was nowhere to be seen. And if we saw him, my sister and I were not allowed to call him Papa. He was going to be unrecognizable by us. Because when you're a little kid, you don't think about these things.
Sure.
It's all automatic.
Well, why could you not recognize him? Was that for his protection?
For both our protection.
For both, okay.
Because they were German troops that came on the farm. And that would be the reason. Okay. That, and they were, when the soldiers did come on the farm, all they wanted was food. We had a farm, we had animals and pigs and geese and cows, and that's what they wanted. So they hid us out and treated us like their children. We went to church. I knew how to say the prayers.
Catholic church.
Yeah, a Catholic church, every Sunday in a horse and buggy. And you know, as a kid, you don't realize, you know something is going on, but you don't realize the enormity of what was happening. You don't, you're a kid. I'm having a great time on the farm. I love the animals. And so you don't really think about that until the soldiers, the German soldiers would come on the farm and they would say, you know, don't say anything. Don't give them your name. Don't talk to them. You just don't say anything. And as a kid, you do what you're told. You don't question it. You don't argue it because you know something's going on. You're not really sure of what it is, but you know there is. So there was one time when soldiers came on the farm, and one of the soldiers came straight to me, picked me up, and said, I have a daughter that reminds me of you. I wonder if I'll ever see her again. I'll never forget that. And I must have been 5 or 6. Put me down. And they picked up their food, you know, and they left. When my father somehow, and being in Normandy, Normandy's really big, and I still, to this day, do not know where this farm was, because we went back to Normandy in 2012 with my kids. And it's so big, I don't know anything about it. My father never talked about it. You could not ever bring up the war.
So what years were you at that farm,
John? Roughly till close to about 1940, close to 1945.
No, not that.
Yeah,
long.
It would have been because we went to
then
another farm.
Afterwards. Yeah.
Well, it was.
When did you? What year did you arrive at the farm? Do you think?
I don't know. Had
it
to
must
be
have been
1942, I would say.
Okay.
Around 1942, they must have gotten an inkling of what was going on in Normandy. Because I never saw the ocean, so I mean it's a big place.
Yeah, you weren't near the beach.
We weren't near the beach or anything. However, they did decide that we should leave that, and my father must have found another place to take us to.
And how did you get out of Normandy then?
We must have taken a train. I don't remember.
But back to Paris or
no, to another farm.
No, we went to another farm in Normandy. I think it was Normandy. I never did find out.
This would have been after the Allies had landed, or?
This was right before.
Right before,
because I think that everybody knew something big was going to happen.
Okay.
So we were, I don't know where we were, but I have a feeling, even though I never did see the ocean, that we weren't that far. So we took us to another farm. And in that farm, we were workers. I mean, we were not treated like their family. They gave us food. They gave us, you know, a place to sleep. But they treated us as if we were workers on the farm.
But it was so basically this is an underground.
Yeah. I think it's all through the underground.
So do you remember the name of the family at the first farm? You don't even remember the name?
No, we tried very hard.
I'm thankful for what they did because if they got caught, they would have been killed. So they protected us, they hit us, and they hit us at the sake of their own lives if they were found out that we were being protected as Jewish children.
Do you remember what the father and mother looked like on the farm? Or?
Vaguely I remember the father, but not a lot more than that. I don't even remember the mother. Her face does not come up. The man's face comes up.
So whoever these people were, you're just so grateful.
That I am.
I mean, you might not be here.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, definitely.
No. I do remember, you know, when we were in Paris and the sirens started up and us grabbing gas masks and running to the underground. I must have been 3, 4.
That was before you got to the farm.
That was before we got to the farm. But these people, they treated us like their own children.
So when you left Paris, the Germans had occupied Paris by that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how our mother was picked up.
Got it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So your father got you guys to America. How?
Well, after the...
It's like a whole book.
It is. After the end of the war, my father could not take care of us. He had no place to go. He had no housing. He just had to reestablish himself. So there was...
But he survived.
He survived.
Okay.
Right. But also, besides my mother, her sister and her sister's husband and two young girls also were taken out of Paris. And they died at Bergen-Belsen.
Have you been to Bergen-Belsen or Auschwitz?
I can't. No. I could not. The thought, just envisioning, it's even hard for me to talk about it, just envisioning what happened to these people, to my mother.
I'm sorry.
Just what bothers me the most is how frightened they must have been. That bothers me more than anything. Can you imagine these two young girls being separated from their mother and father? That's my mother's sister. That's my mother.
That's your mother.
Right. That's her sister, her husband, and two young girls that were taken and killed. Just the thought of these children being separated, and they were a little bit older, not as young as my sister and I. She's probably was my sister's age. Being separated from their parents and then being killed. It's
horrifying.
It is horrifying. It's unimaginable that such cruelty and atrocities could have happened.
It's happening now.
And it, mm-hmm. Well, so anyway, after the war, my father, who could not establish himself, he had nobody left, you know, where he could go. He had a brother, and this brother and his wife also had a 16-year-old boy taken by the Germans to Auschwitz also, where he survived, this cousin. And he couldn't talk about the war. I mean, he could not talk about it for 50 years. So anyway, back to where we went. Since there was I don't know where that was. It was someplace in France outside of Paris where my sister and I were taken. It was a Jewish home, and they took care of the kids that had nobody or no place to go. So, and they were wonderful too, because it was a Jewish home for Jewish children who survived the war, but had nobody left. Though I had a father left who could not take care of us. So this particular home took care of us.
And when did you come to the States?
So then I went back to Paris, and I had an attack of appendicitis. So they brought me back to Paris, and they did surgery on me. So how I came to the United States, there was an uncle in Brooklyn, my father's brother, who came to Paris to see my father and to see what's going on and all of that. And between him and my father, they decided that one of us will go back with him. So I was then taken by this uncle, who I didn't know. I was not even 12. I was almost 12, and got me on a boat, and came to America.
To Brooklyn.
To Brooklyn.
Where you spent the rest of your growing up.
Brighton Beach.
Oh, wow.
Brighton Beach, Brooklyn.
That's where we met.
We lived right across the street.
You guys are married?
61 years.
Okay.
Yeah, we met in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
At Lincoln High School.
Mm-hmm.
You were both students at Lincoln High.
Yeah.
So you were high school sweethearts?
Yeah.
Come on,
high
really?
Sweethearts.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
We're married 61 years.
Oh, congratulations.
We dated for 5 years, so we know each other 66 years.
How many kids do you guys have?
Two.
Two.
Boy, a daughter?
A daughter.
Your daughter is Heidi, right? Because
yeah.
I saw right. Heidi come up
yeah.
with the phone.
And yeah.
And a
son called Gerard.
Gerard.
He was
What's
named
he
after my mother.
He has a, he runs a horse, a farm.
Yeah.
He teaches horseback riding and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about your sister?
My sister and my father. So I lived with my aunt and uncle for 18 months. My father had applied for a visa to come to America, but so did every other
yeah, sure.
Jewish person who survived the war wanted to come to America. So my father was waiting for a visa to come to America. So I lived with my aunt and uncle for 18 months till my father came, got his visa. 18 months later, he came to the United States.
Okay, so then you were living with him.
Well, then my sister and I, you know, were living
okay.
with him. My real name was Jeanine Fuchs. I know it sounds looks funny, but we eventually changed our name to Fox. So my maiden name was really Joan Fox, because my aunt, who I lived with,
yeah.
had a hard time saying Jeanine. So she changed my name to Joan, and it became Joan ever since.
And is Madeline alive?
No.
No,
she died.
Did she come to Rhode Island, or?
No, she lived in Brooklyn.
She lived the rest of her life in Brooklyn.
It's amazing that you these people who were so good, who basically saved you.
Yeah.
They're just lost in time.
Exactly.
They're lost.
And they are.
Will never be found, probably.
No, we try so hard because there were a couple of cousins that were still alive, you know, that were alive after
yeah.
the war in Paris. And we went back to Paris a few times, and every time we tried to find out, and they just could not figure it out.
Nobody knew. And my father, he was a bitter, angry man when he came to the United States, and you can't blame him for that because of what he lost. And just try and imagine a man losing his wife and somehow having to protect his children. It doesn't get any worse than that. Having to hide them and worry about their life, his life, and thinking about his wife. What's worse than that?
We all know how you know, meticulous the Germans were with their record keeping and so on. So they kept all of the names of everything, and the French after the war, the Jewish French after the war, tried to get all of this information in. So they published a book. They were able to find out and publish a book with all of the train convoys.
That's what they were called.
People that were sent to the concentration camp. They were Jews were picked up, sent to Drancy, which is right outside of Paris, and put them in a holding place. And then every once in a while, when the Germans said, okay, we'll take 1,000 or so people, you know, into the concentration camp, because they couldn't, the rate of extermination, you know, was kind of slow probably or whatever. So every once in a while they said, okay, so what happened is that they had every one of those convoys listed. in tears.
That's my mother's name. She was in convoy 46. Yeah. These are all the convoys.
All the different convoys that left.
Wow. May I look at that?
Sure. And out of 1,000 that was taken, anywhere between 900 and 1,100, maybe 20 people, maybe 17
people.
The
one underlined
came
there.
Back. The one that's on there, her name was Zisla.
Zisla.
And what's this date? Is that her date of birth?
Yes.
And what's Rawa?
That's where she was
born. That's where she was born.
Which is an outskirts of Warsaw.
Okay.
Warsaw.
And P is, stands for Poland?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's amazing is that these are all the people that went out of France. That's what's amazing. And my aunt and uncle are in the book in a different convoy. You just don't understand this type of thing, you know? And we went to, when we were in Paris, we went to the Shoah Museum in Paris. And they have a wall of all the names of all the people that were taken. And my mother's name is up there.
This is your mother, right?
That's my mother. Yeah.
And who's this guy?
That's my aunt's husband. My mother-in-law's, my mother's brother-in-law. This is her sister and her husband and the two girls.
So your mother and her sister?
Right.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Right.
And that's her, your mother's sister, your aunt's husband?
Yeah.
These people on the farm who took you in.
Yeah.
I mean, what goodness and bravery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, talk about that.
Yeah.
They were at great risk doing that.
They were.
Yeah.
They were.
And you know what else is that when we went back in 2011 and we went to Normandy and we walked where all the graves are, all the monument for the soldiers who died, that's overwhelming. That it's rows after rows after rows, and you just are so overwhelmed with the gravity of this whole thing that it's just so emotional. That was the most emotional I've had since probably the war. Because these are the people who saved our butts. They really were.